ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Honorable elders, beloved brothers, sisters, mothers, and esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba Online, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Regarding the month of Ramadan, you have heard so many virtues and what is expected of us. In today's talk, my brothers, I want to go back to our history and see the victory that Islam and Muslims were given in the past. And why were they given all these victories? We will just go through the pages of history, because our Islamic Muslim history, we learn it for three reasons. Reason number one, we learn history so that we are motivated, inspired for the future. We learn history so that we do not commit the same mistakes in future that we committed in the past. The third reason why we learn history is that Muslim and Islamic history is not written in black and white. It's written in black and red. The black ink of the honorable ulama and scholars, and the red blood of our shuhada and martyrs. It is the 17th of Ramadan, it is a Friday, and it is the second year after the Hijrah. The place is called Badr, which many of us have visited. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرِهُ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّا. Abu Sufyan and them were returning from Syria via Medina Munawwara, going back to Makkah. And remember, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's desire was to intercept them, because they had so much merchandise, etc. And that would be an easy victory. But Almighty Allah Jalla wala decreed, nay, you go and take on Abu Jahl and his cronies and comrades. Abu Jahl and them left Makkah Mukarramah. For them, due to their overconfidence, they were already celebrating victory. Almighty Allah speaks of this in the noble Quran. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بَطَرًا. Don't be like those people who left their homes, Makkah Mukarramah, in this text and context. And celebrating, the alcohol, everything was flowing. The women were dancing, the music was playing. All that was going on. And this side were 313 Sahaba. That side, there were approximately 1,000. Look at the devotion, dedication of the Sahaba, the beloved students and companions of the Master alayhi salam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we know the odds are stacked against us. We are ill-equipped compared to them. We are outnumbered compared to them. But at this juncture, we tell you, Ya Rasulullah, Salma Shita, ask whatever you want. Silman Shita, join us with whoever you want. Waqta'man Shita, cut us off from whoever you want. We will do as we are told, whatever your instruction is. Lo and behold, Almighty Allah granted a stunning victory to the Muslims. 70 of the enemy dispatched to Jahannam, including Abu Jahl, their leader. 70 taken captive. This happened in Ramadan. Go fast forward. That same Makkah Mukarramah, which was the Milad Mubarak, where the honorable birth of the Master alayhi salam took place. But when he was 53 years old, he was driven out of Makkah Mukarramah. With tears in his eyes, he left Makkah Mukarramah. When they came 6 years later, today, when you're traveling towards Makkah, you will see a board called Shumaysiyah. That Shumaysiyah is Hudaybiyah. And they prevented the Master alayhi salam and the Sahaba, 1500 of them as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. So they could not advance. And they said, we are the custodians. We are the trustees. We will not allow you here that you go and perform your Umrah. They only allowed Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu warda. Lo and behold, it is the 8th year of the Hijrah, the 21st of Ramadan. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes. 10,000 Sahaba accompany the Master. It is the month of Ramadan, 21st of Ramadan to be precise, 8 years after the Hijrah. And now the Master alayhi salam looks at them. What do you think I'm going to do with you, O Quraysh, O Mushrikeen, O polytheists? You know what you did with us. They said, you are Kareem, Ibnul Kareem, Ibnul Kareem. You are generous, your father, grandfather, everybody generous. The Master alayhi salatu salam said, قُلْتُ لَكُمْ كَمَا قَالَ يُوسُفْ لِإِخْوَتِهِ. Today I tell you that which Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam told his brothers, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْيَوْمِ. There is no blame for you. Go. أَنْتُمُ التُلَقَاءَ. I give you freedom. I grant you amnesty. Lo and behold, that was a turning point. يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجَ took place. And they entered into Islam in their droves and droves. The whole of Makkah virtually embraced Islam. 90%, 95% of them. Few people only resisted. Then we go further. We know about Spain. Today it is said but true. We know the soccer teams of Spain. But we don't know about Andalus. That place which Muslims ruled for almost 8 centuries. How did it all start? You must remember that Tariq bin Ziyad, when he was in his early 20s, and he went with his boats and ship, and he told his people when they crossed into the Iberian Peninsula, and they went and they said, أَمَامَكُمْ أَلَدُوْ. In front of you is the enemy. وَوَرَاءَكُمْ الْبَحَرِ. And behind you is the ocean. Ya Allah, for your love, for your pleasure, we're burning the boats here. We will establish Islam here, or either we give our life for Islam. Allah accepted their sacrifices. And what happened? For almost 8 centuries, Islam was flourishing in the land of Andalus. I visited it. So my brothers, still today you go to Granada, you go to Cordova, and you will see the rich history of the Muslims. These are just samples, examples I am giving you. What happened in our glorious past? What is happening today, my brothers? Point in reference which every person here knows. What happened now in Gaza? The apartheid Israeli regime shot and murdered our men, our women, our children. And most of them were killed with bullets shot in their back, unarmed. Who is there for them? Where is the Muslim Ummah? Where are me and you, my brothers? Do you know what is the aim of the Zionist regime? We need to understand all these things, my brothers. We can't be living in South Africa and think we are oblivious of what happens in the Ummah. The Zionist regime has 4 objectives. Number one, they must establish the state of Israel. They say there are people without the land, and there's a land without the people. And that is the land of Palestine. The second part of the slogan is a lie. They were a people without the land because they were kicked out from Europe and expelled. But to say that in Palestine was a land without the people is an absolute lie and fabrication and propaganda. Nevertheless, Palestine becomes Israel in 48. Then they said, what good is it that we have Israel, we don't have a capital. And then in 1967, remember, they occupied Jerusalem, and you know now, the embassy of the Americans have moved there, and now they are telling us a smack in the face of every Muslim. They say it is our eternal undivided capital. So that is number two. So the agenda is already set. Agenda number three. Why are they frustrating the Muslims, the illegal prison which they have made for the people there in Gaza? In the West Bank, you see what's happening. So brothers, they want to extend and expand their borders. You look at the Israeli flag and you will see it's a white flag with two blue lines, one on top, one at the bottom. Min al-Furati ila al-Nil, from the Euphrates River to River Nile. This includes Medina Munawwara. You see what, I don't belong to any party, I'm not a politician. But what the Turkish president said, Erdogan, Allah Ta'ala give him tawfiq, he's doing some great work there for the Ummah. He said that if Masjid al-Aqsa falls into the hands of the enemy, then the next target is Medina Munawwara. And me and you, the Ummah, need to wake up to this reality. The Jews have not forgotten what happened in the 7th year of the Hijrah. During the month of Muharram, 150 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara is a place called Khaybar. I visited that as well. You should go to these places and learn our Islamic history. And these ma'asum children, which I saw with my own eyes, they take on the apartheid regime of Israel, their army, the most equipped and well-equipped army in the whole Middle East, and maybe in the world, they're number 4 or number 5. You see, they have stones in their hands, and they have iman in their hearts, and they take that army on. But what do they say before taking on that army? They tell the Zionist regime army, Khaybar, Khaybar, ya Yahud, inna jaysha Muhammad sofa Yahud. Remember Khaybar, O you Zionists, O you Jews. What we did with you and the Sahaba did with you. Today we are the army of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will come back and we will take our land. It's our country, it's our land, it's our Qibla, it's our Masjid al-Aqsa. Do you know what is their plan? Oh Ummah, wake up from your slumber. It was in 1994. How many of us are even aware of this incident? It was a Saturday, 1994, 15th of Ramadan, Fajr time. From Masjid al-Aqsa you travel, is not even 1 hour, but they have so many checkpoints. So it will take you about an hour to reach Khalilur Rahman, what they call Hebron. And there you have Masjid Ibrahim Khalili, where Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam and their honorable spouses are buried. I read Salat Day in a Masjid in 89-92. The whole Masjid belongs to us. Baruch Goldstein, one of the biggest terrorists of the Zionists. Whilst in Ramadan, they were reading Fajr Salat. Remember, they facing the Qibla. He came from the back with his Uzi in his hand. And whilst they were reading Salat, the Israeli police are complicit in this crime. They allowed him and he shot the Muslims whilst they were in prayer. 29 dropped dead right in the Masjid. This is our history, written in black and red. How many of the Muslims are even aware of this incident? Go on. Israeli apartheid regime tells you they are a democratic country. This is their democracy. After this incident of 15 Ramadan, 1994, Saturday morning, they took our masjid and they partitioned it. Today, if you look at it, remember, not even half-half. That if you take it now, majority is in their possession almost. And there's only few serfs left for the Muslim. Our masjid, occupied by them. And remember, the Ummah is silent. Is this not an indictment upon the Ummah? Now why I'm telling you this? This is the same analogy they want to use with Masjid al-Aqsa. You know, last week Sunday, so you must remember, 14th was Monday, which was their 70th birthday and celebration, as they tell us, of the apartheid regime of Israel. Said Sunday was Jerusalem Day as far as they concerned. They invaded Masjid al-Aqsa in their hundreds. And remember, this is what the settlers want to do. They say, no, we are very peaceful. What we did in Masjid Ibrahim Khalili, you take the front portion and we will occupy the back portion. So if you've been to Masjid al-Aqsa, this is the exact thing they want to do. They say that the front portion is 35 acres of land, where the big, big walls are. Everything is part of Masjid al-Aqsa. But they say, you see the structure of Aqsa in front, you keep that. And at the back, where you have the Qubbatul Sakhra, the Dome of the Rock, that they will demolish and abolish and replace it with Haikale Suleimani, the Temple of Solomon. This is the current agenda. This is what they are waiting for. Because they know the Muslim countries are impotent and good for nothing. Illa mashallah, one, two, maybe you exempt. This is what's going on now. Where will it end? Where will it end? Did you read Quran? This ummah who wastes its time in sports, in movies, in Hollywood and Bollywood, will never liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. Forget it. This ummah will liberate Masjid al-Aqsa when we turn our priorities the other way around. Understand this. Allah will choose those people who are prepared to give everything for the Aqsa. Then Masjid al-Aqsa will be liberated. See what Allah says. Open Surah Bani Israel, chapter number 17. See right in the ending, the miracle of Quran, ijazul Quran. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ جِئِنَا بِكُمْ لَفِيفًا. When the final promise of Allah is about to unfold, Allah will bring you Jews in groups and groups. Do you see the Americans in Israel? Do you see the Europeans in Israel? Do you see the South Africans in Israel? They are making aliyah. You say we make hijrah. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. The Jutla, the Jews, says that he's making aliyah. They leave their respective countries and continents and they go to the land of Israel, the apartheid regime. And they want, because no questions asked. What was all the protest about for 6 weeks? How come we don't have the right of return, but it's our land, it's our country, we are here for centuries? Understand? But a person who's a Jew, remember, he can walk in, walk out easily, because they say it's their country. So Allah said, when the final promise comes, Allah will bring them. Part of the master plan of Almighty Allah. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ. They plot and plan. And Allah has His master plan. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And Allah is the best of planners. Did you read Sunnah Bani Israel? Go read Sunnah Bani Israel, those of you who are Arabs. There are some brothers who are now from the Arab countries. Some of you know the Arabic language. Go read the book. حقائق القرآنية حول قضية الفلسطينية. And what I'm telling you now is all from that book. See what Allah Ta'ala told the Jews. ثم رددنا لكم الكرة عليهم وامددناكم بأموال وبنين وجعلناكم أكثر نفيرا. We will give you the greatest amount of wealth. Who controls the banks? We will give you so many armies. We will give you the media, everything they have. The media by and large is sympathetic to them or owned by them. The wealth and the banks belong to them in most instances. They have one of the strongest armies in the world. Allah say, I gave you all this. Three things. What are we going to do? In ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. If you do good with this, Allah will let you keep it. Wa in asa'atum. If you abuse it, and what abuse? They have become baby killers. In the past, they were the murderers of Anbiya alayhimus salam. The Quran Kareem tells us this. Fariqan kazzabtum wa fariqan taqtulun. They murdered the Anbiya, like Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, and today they carry on with the murder and killing of children as well. Now what will happen? The Muslim army, the true Muslim army. Listen to the beginning of Surah 17. Allah is speaking what is going to unfold and happen in future. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ. When you see the word came, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ, in the ending, same word. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ. When the final promise of Allah comes, لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. The Muslim army will come and they'll disfigure your faces. Even the Jews know they will never win forever. The day will come when they will lose everything. وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. They will enter Masjid al-Aqsa as they entered the first time in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. There the army came and they were victorious. No negotiations. The only way you liberate Aqsa and Palestine is through jihad. All this negotiation, peace talk is all waste of time. Not worth the paper on which it's written. When they speak of peace, it's not P-E-A-C-E, it is P-I-E-C-E. How to steal more pieces of land of the Palestinians. وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْا تَدْبِيرًا. And Allah will crush that arrogance and pride of theirs. Today they are so proud. They say, nobody can touch us. We have enough bullets for all. One of the members of the parliament, of the Knesset said this, or minister said it. We have enough bullets for each one of them. So proud and arrogant. But remember, Allah ki lati be awaze. That stick of Allah, remember, does not make a noise. Most of you are South African. You were born in apartheid. I was born in apartheid. What did the apartheid regime of South Africa tell us, if you know your history? What did the apartheid regime of South Africa tell us? The apartheid regime of South Africa told us that we have such a powerful army. In 2 weeks we'll clean up the whole of Africa and we will be sitting there in Egypt. That is what the apartheid regime said. And you see today what happens. So brothers, Allah gives everybody a chance. If you know the history of Palestine, Allah gave it to the Christians. At Masjid al-Aqsa, at Qubbat al-Sakhra, the cross and the crucifix was hanging there. For 88 years, Allah gave it to the Christians. And then Salahuddin Ayyubi came from 1099 to 1187. And then he brought about the liberation. And now 70 years it is in the hands of the Jews. This is Allah's system. Victory is ours. The question me and you have to ask, what are we doing for our first Qibla? You the youth, what are you doing for Masjid al-Aqsa? Whole day you play with your phone. Whole day you send emails to the females. Is this life? Is this the true Muslim? Is this what we're supposed to do in Ramadan? Waste our time, kill our time? Think about it. Just now I translated the khutbah and I'll end with that. Sheikh Saud Shuraim made a wonderful, great point. He said, Ya Ummat al-Qiyam wa Siyam, O Ummah who is fasting during the day, and you're making Taraweeh Salat at night, you need two qualities. You need Takhliyah and you need Tahliyah. Takhliyah whilst you are fasting, whilst you are reading Taraweeh, remove yourself from all the vices and sins. And then you need Tahliyah, adorn yourself with the wonderful actions. Fasting is a duty. Tilawatul Quran is the beauty of Ramadan. Wake up early part of Tahajjud, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, up past 3, 4 o'clock. And in Salat, read your Tahajjud. Cry to Allah and beg Allah. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِ رَبِّي وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The nearest, the servant comes to Allah. His wife's behind Sajda. فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَى. Don't think, I told you this before in this masjid. Don't think that this South Africa will last forever like this. You saw what's happening in Kwamashu? You saw how they warned the Muslims of Somalia? So brothers, think and turn in a split second. So I warn you again, my brothers, and we beg Almighty Allah. I'm not speaking of thawab and reward. South Africa, I've been to many countries. South Africa is the best country to live in. The petrol price can go up, it doesn't matter. You understand? Brothers, make special dua for our country. Allahumma aminna fi awtanina. Make special dua for the Haramain Sharifain. Allah protects it and keeps it always in the hands of the Ahlu Sunnah and not in the hands of the enemies. And next one, make special dua for Masjid al-Aqsa and Palestine. Almighty Allah grant them that liberation and Palestine and Aqsa goes back to its former glory. May Almighty Allah use us for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa and Palestine. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.